Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
How did a model become a mess? And an expensive mess at that. That's what many are asking about the state's health insurance exchange website. That's the site where people who don't have insurance have to go to register.
The Connector website had a disastrous launch in 2013, making it difficult, in some cases impossible, for thousands of Massachusetts residents to register for insurance. Now, a new report from the Pioneer Institute claims that state officials knew that development for the website was off track for more than a year before the launch.
The report puts the cost of the Connector's failed rollout at $1 billion and climbing. And we're joined now by the report's author, Josh Archambault. He's a senior fellow on healthcare policy at the Pioneer Institute. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the company hired to build the Connector website was CGI Corporation, and then their work was overseen by UMass Medical School contractors. And your report focuses on that relationship. Tell us about some of the key findings.
Sure. So nobody's really taken a behind-the-scenes look, and we had the ability to talk to a number of folks, we call them whistleblowers, who worked directly on this project from the state side. So not from the CGI, but from the state side. And they gave us insight that we have never seen talked about, whether it's basic incompetence about not having the latest up-to-date Word document version, so employees had to send documents home to their home computers, to a lack of any sort of accountability when it came to people showing up to meetings or making sure that CGI was holding up its end of the bargain.
So when you're talking about all of these things, this is in you mentioned there's no contract. There were no sort of established guidelines at the beginning for CGI to live up to.
So the problem started very, very early. And for our report, not only did we talk to whistleblowers, but we also got our hands on the internal audits that were required by the federal government. They were filed every week, and then a summary was put together every month. An independent group that was looking at the progress of the report, and what those internal audits show is the problem started early. They persisted, and the state did very little to address those issues as they came up. Missed deadlines, CGI putting in very shoddy work, and state officials being pressured by hired up to sign off on it, even though it didn't work. And this all cascaded down the line where we ended up, and many thousands of people in the state experienced, not being able to use the website, even though public officials were out there saying, everything's going to be great. This is going to be a very easy experience. We've seen the cost of that, and we've seen the personal cost to individuals as a result.
One of the things that surprised me in the report is that testing of the site just before the launch showed a 90% failure rate. And then you mentioned these other things where there are problems and people are not revealing them. What would be the motivation to continue with the launch knowing that there was this trouble coming down the road?
You know, that's a great question. And I think it's something that as a state, we have to take a much closer look at. This is not the first big IT project that we've run into issues. There's been multiple ones that have popped up over the last few years. The unemployment insurance, the judiciary system had some issues. I think what the problem is there's an ideology or culture of people covering up, making sure that they don't look bad. And certainly in this case, when it involves the Affordable Care Act, there was even more pressure given some of the positions that local officials have taken to make sure that this goes smoothly. But you raise a very, very important question is a lot of senior officials knew this was not going to work. The testing had not taken place. It had not gone well to the extent that it was supposed to. They knew the functions weren't going to work, and yet they still went live. That's where we need to have some accountability.
You're listening to Radio Boston. Our guest is Josh Archambault. He's a senior fellow at the Pioneer Institute and the author of the report titled Whistleblowers Expose the Massachusetts Connector. I want to talk to you about those whistleblowers. Now, one of them was a lead technical worker at UMass who said that there was pressure to sign off on faulty work by CGI and then was later terminated. Are you sure that you got representative statements when you found these people, or is there a risk of a fired employee having an axe to grind?
Sure, you know, and that's a great question. It was something that we were very, very cautious about. We always tried to collaborate whenever possible from the internal audits. We also spoke to many, many people involved on this project, all from CGI, from the state, from all the different agencies, to try to make sure and back up every single statement that we were given. We felt very confident, given what we were seeing in the internal audits, that these whistleblowers were are not having an axe to grind. In fact, from a career perspective, I know that they've done quite well since they've left the project. That's not the problem here. They joined the project because they believed in it and they wanted to see it succeed. The issue was that they saw those cover-ups. And as a result, and probably the blockbuster finding in the report, is that it appears state officials lied to the federal government, breaking federal law, to keep the funds flowing. And as a result, not only did we see the human cost of that and the stress and uncertainty it caused people, but certainly there's a fallout for taxpayers.
Where do things stand now? Are we still feeling the effect of that failed rollout, which happened in October of 2013?
We are, and there's many pieces to this that still remain. I'm cautiously optimistic about the new leadership at the Connector. I think they realize how deep the problems still remain. However, I do think that there is this cultural or ideological belief, whether it's on the board of the Connector or those in the legislature who are supposed to have oversight authority here, that they would dictate what consumers want. The site has not added a tremendous amount of value. It has really failed to attract people who don't use a subsidy. So they've only attracted people who have a subsidy. It's the only place you can get the subsidy. So we need to ask some bigger policy questions going forward about how are you going to make the Connector sustainable and trustworthy. They haven't even signed up the same amount of people they had before the open enrollment in 2013. So we've got some big issues here that we need to address that go beyond just what our report covers.
Of course, with any large-scale project, you're bound to have some sort of bumps and problems. Do you have a sense of whether other states have experienced, you know, bumps in the road as they try to wheel out their websites?
Oh, absolutely. Massachusetts is not alone in this by any stretch of the imagination. Oregon, very interestingly, also the U.S. Attorney and FBI are investigating very similar claims out in the Oregon exchange. The difference there is they defaulted to healthcare.gov when things got really bad. Maryland, Minnesota, Vermont, California. It's been a number of states that have run into significant issues. So Massachusetts is not alone. The difference is that there's been very little local interest to look into these issues. In all of these other states, there's been a legislative body, oversight body that's held hearings. There's been a state auditor. There's been others that have looked at and tried to address some of those problems they've run into. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the level of engagement here in the state. The FBI and the U.S. Attorney deserve some credit for stepping forward, but now we have to see other action at the local level.
And I assume that's how you believe that this was able to go on as long as it did, that there weren't those oversights and checks and balances?
Yeah, there was, but even when the federal government required state officials to come to them, they called them gate reviews, to show how far along in their process, our report found that they often misled them. They used open source software instead of the actual software that they were supposed to be developing. It'd be like building a house for somebody and showing them the model unit halfway through, saying, well, this is what it looks like, when it's not actually the same house.
Governor Charlie Baker's office told the Boston Globe that they inherited a broken system and that they're focused on fixing it. I want to close by asking you what steps you would like to see the administration take to try and course correct the Connector.
Sure. And there certainly has been a change in rhetoric around this. I think the new governor realizes that folks have lost trust in the Connector. So stepping forward, I certainly think that the administration and the Connector board needs to do everything that it can to not only be as transparent about where the money went in the past, but certainly where the money's going in the future, making sure that the Connector is living up to its original vision in 2006 under RomneyCare, which was to be truly a connector, connecting individuals with products instead of dictating and being very paternalistic as they have been in the past.
Josh Archambeau is a senior fellow on healthcare policy at the Pioneer Institute. He's also the author of a new report on what went wrong with the state's Health Connector website. You can find a link to his report at our website, radioboston.org. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, Mayor Marty Walsh wants Bostonians to participate in designing a blueprint for the future of the city. What's your view of what Boston should look like in 2030? Stay with us and join the conversation. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Doug Tribou. This is Radio Boston.